Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Umat and Dr. Brazel. We have a full lineup of doctors and just talking with John about the possibilities of what could be going on with the blood in his urine. So before we take our next caller, Dr. Mixon, why don't we finish up with that?
A couple of quick ones. We always want to look for the worst things it could be. And so that's why I'd love to get a urologist to take a look at the inside of your bladder and maybe some imaging for your kidneys just to be safe. Because at your age, these are possible. Dr. Brazel during the break brought up a question, though, of the baby aspirin. You know, baby aspirin is a pretty tiny dose. It's about 1/4 of an adult aspirin. But she has had a patient who was dropping their blood count, and it turned out that it all went away when they just stopped their baby aspirin. So that's a possibility. Older folks don't metabolize these things as fast as younger people. So your baby aspirin could be predisposing you to lose a little blood. That would be the most innocuous, but I'd hate to have you stop the baby aspirin and then turn out we missed a kidney tumor or a bladder tumor.
So. Well, yeah, obviously, and then he's on a lot of other things, right? So the combination of dasatinib with the baby aspirin might also be not the best, because we're very careful with blood thinners, even baby aspirin, when our patients are on the senescent cell therapy programs. So a combination of factors might play a role that might just tip him over at his age, and so he has to be a little careful. With the baby aspirin, the question is it helping with anything or not? Because the likelihood of it causing GI bleed in the older patient is much higher. We were hoping with the large population studies we would be able to say, yes, it helps prevent a heart attack, go ahead and take it. But it never showed that.
Nope, it didn't.
So if you're taking it, you have to be very careful. What is it really doing for you?
Well, and if you're on your omega-3 supplementations, those are thinning you out enough that probably going to protect you against the heart attack anyway.
Unless you've already had one. Let's be clear, don't just stop it until you consult with your doctor to make sure that it's a good idea.
That's true.
To stop it. And the other thing he mentioned is you were doing a lot of higher weight sets than normal.
Yes.
Is that what was happening in your recovery?
Yes, I'm trying to find out the max weight. When I'm done with a workout, which usually takes about an hour, I practically need a wheelchair to get out of the place.
Okay, so you're probably
totally
hurting
exhausted.
Yourself more with that, more than you realize. And also remember that strenuous exercise can also cause a bleed.
Well, because
it puts pressure on the prostate as well as the bladder.
And it kicks the blood pressure way up when you're straining to lift.
Right.
So.
Yeah, my heart rate never goes over about 120 in my workouts. It's come down. It used to go up to about 140. And my resting vitals are 111 over 68, and my heart rate's about below 50, somewhere around 48.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are studies showing that if you are doing a lot of cardio, you can push your cardiac rhythm into AFib if your heart rate is over 150, doing your cardiac exercises. So,
yeah. Well, doesn't sound like he's hitting that high.
Right.
Yeah, it's come way down. It used to be way up. But Dr. Maiden said I could go up to 160.
All right.
My heart rate keeps coming down. It seems like the more fit I've become.
Well, and that usually happens.
Yeah. And since you're seeing Dr. Maiden, you might want to check in with him about, you know, your aspirin need and other blood pressure medication concerns. Like if you're on metoprolol, that might be keeping your heart rate down, which is great, but encouraging you to push a little too hard at the gym.
Okay.
Very good. Oh, John, great discussion.
Thank you for the great call, John.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Okay, go enjoy your cactus and your sunshine.
Just and the nice. Jasmine flowers that also come out with the citrus.
Oh,
it's nice to hear an 87-year-old man who's been at longevity for over 20 years and is still aggressively working out every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Good on you, John. 87, that's awesome. All right, we're headed from Arizona over to Nashville. Put your cowboy hats on. We've got Ed on the line. Hi there, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Caregiver again.
Oh, yes. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. Okay. I'm not actually calling about Ed for a change.
Okay.
His daughter, 61 years old, got diagnosed with lung cancer about 6 months ago. Went through radiation, is now on chemo pills called Retevmo.
Okay.
Her doctors are happy. The tumors are shrinking. Let's put it this way. When she had a problem, she thought she had a pinched nerve or something in her neck, and she called her doctor and said, can I come in for an MRI? And the statement was, can we see you in about a week and a half? And she called her girlfriend and said, should we go to the ER? And the girlfriend's answer was, I'm in your driveway. Let's go.
Good.
That was Thursday. The ER doctor looked at her, did some tests, and said, you have lung cancer. We're admitting you. Your surgery will be Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
When they got done with the surgery, the answer was that they took three vertebrae out and replaced it with titanium, and the surgeon's statement was something to the effect of, your vertebrae were the consistency of mashed potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So was this metastasis from the lung cancer?
July. What?
Was this, this was the lung cancer had spread to her bones?
Metastasized to her spine.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the statement, at least.
All right.
So she took 2 months off, June and July. And then she got gradually back into her regular routine. And for the year, her Fitbit said a little over 4 million steps for the year.
Okay. So she's been quite active.
That's down 1 million from the year before, but it's still 500,000 more than I got. So I'm not real unhappy.
All right.
I got 3.5 million. She got 4.1.
Okay, so you're both being competitive and moving a lot. That's all good.
She strapped a Fitbit on me and said, "I'm not moving enough." So she tracks.
Good for her.
Yes.
Is she from a blue zone?
No, she's from Tennessee.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, originally Washington, but she's been in Nashville for 25 years.
All right. Yeah, and of course Nashville is in part of the stroke belt because. Awful lot of very heavy people there and not a great diet.
Gravy.
Well, she has an excellent diet. She's the healthiest person in the family.
Good.
She is 5'4", 5'5", and maybe 120 pounds.
All right.
Okay, good.
Okay, lean and active. I like all of that.
She can still get down on the floor, play with the puppy dogs and the pussy cats, and get back up without pushing off of anything or any assistance.
All right.
It's wonderful.
Well, the question is, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, she's
on Retevmo,
yeah.
Which, as I understand it, is a long-term chemotherapy drug.
It is.
What are the side effects for that sort of thing, and should we be worried?
Yes, you should be worried. I mean, this is a woman who's got a remote metastasis from her breast cancer. Not breast cancer, lung cancer. And lung cancer is the number one fatal disease for women. It kills more women than breast cancer by a large margin. So, you know, she has a serious, serious problem. I don't know where you go with this, though. You know, you got to recognize that once more, my disclaimer, lung cancer is not my area of expertise. In fact, no one's sitting around this table.
You were talking about cancers, and I figured it was a good day to call in.
Okay, breast cancer.
But, you know, with lung cancer, you've basically got two primary choices. One of them is the surgery, and the other is chemotherapy. And now there are some people doing focused radiation for metastasis. In other words, if a woman has a lung cancer and we can see that they've got two or three other little sites of lung cancer that have spread, using focused radiation just on those areas to hit just those few metastases has extended lifespan by 6 months or more. So, you know, watching her closely, if any new lesions pop up, getting something like the proton therapy or fractional focused radiation just on those spots can do a good job of extending her lifespan. But statistically, with remote metastasis to her bones, the numbers are pretty discouraging. I'm glad she's doing as well as she's doing, but the long term, even with the chemotherapy, is not as robust as we'd like. 5-year survival is pretty dismal.
Okay.
No, but I've just told you almost everything I know about lung cancer in elderly women. So,
61 is not what I consider elderly, but I'm not going to argue the general state.
Yeah, well, I'd say it doesn't seem old to me either, because you know, everybody under 50 strikes me as a kid these days, but I'm 76. So what can I tell you? 61, though, by definition, is elderly, and unfortunately, I am now in the extreme elderly category this summer when I hit 77. I don't like it.
Trying to get some sympathy points here, Dr. Mixon.
Yeah, every time
he says extreme elderly, he's trying to get some sympathy points.
I'm just trying to decide.
Wait until you get to Ed's version of 93 or May 94.
Right. Well, my hope is that I will hit that 94 and I'll still be out dancing and enjoying my life.
That's right.
You know, I do not want to be 94 in the nursing home, but I do want to be 94, 95, 102, and still active. But that's what I'm working on for longevity.
Yes.
So, well, doctor's statement is you are the healthiest 93-year-old I have in my practice.
That's awesome. They figured he's got at least three more years to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sounds good. All right.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Ed's caregiver from Nashville, Tennessee. All right. We are going to go to a break here in just a moment. The show, Leading Edge Medicine, of course, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we want you to be a part of it. We still offer the free health analysis, and we would love to have you come in for that. You can pick one of our three clinics, Kirkland, Linwood, and Tacoma. And what that is just two simple tests. And Dr. Brazel, maybe you can tell our listeners what that does. Like their very first time they come into Longevity, they filled out a health analysis, and then they're going to do two simple tests.
Well, thanks for asking. So as you might know from listening to the radio show for a long time, many of our patients come to us through this program. And so when they're coming in for a health analysis, a lot of them are already familiar with what we do, which is so helpful because it makes the conversation go really smoothly. Every once in a while, someone has no idea what we're doing, and then it's a little bit more complex. But our radio show listeners are so savvy because they've been listening to Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat for years. Then they sit with me and they go over the results of the A1C, which is a finger stick test, to give them an average blood sugar measurement, and the InBody, which is a machine that measures their body fat, their muscle mass, and then their overall BMI, and then the things they need to work on, which is most, for most people, the visceral fat, which is, we can hide it really well inside our internal organs and not know how much we really have, and this will open our eyes. And then it also helps us estimate muscle strength and density by showing us muscle mass, which is so important for preventing the progression of the chronic diseases, cardiovascular, cancer, Alzheimer's.
That's so good. You get so much information for that. Let's talk a little bit more about that right after the break, Dr. Brazel. We will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And here's that number to call, 800-465-8770. Stay right there. And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. He has a big smile on his face because you probably picked that song out to play. That's a fun one.
It is. And I was just thinking about, you know, dancing Louisiana. So.
Yes. Yes. And Dr. Umat here as well. And Dr. Christine Brazel from our longevity clinics. And we were just talking before the break what that first health analysis appointment looks like. That's the way we get you into the door to take a couple of tests and what those tests tell you. Right, Dr. Brazel?
So back to what we were talking about before the break, a lot of our patients that come in for the health analysis are familiar with the program because they've been longtime radio show listeners, and we love that because they ask the best questions and they keep us on our toes.
Yes, they do.
So that time that you're there is to find a little bit about yourself that you might not already know, and that's the body composition analysis, which we call the InBody, and that's a machine that helps quantify muscle, roughly musculoskeletal density, body fat, and then extracellular water, which we see with those congestive heart failure patients or people who've had a lot of orthopedic surgeries tend to collect a lot of water in their limbs from the tissue damage. So this will give us a little information about what is this made of and where do I need to point these arrows up and these arrows down. And so we'll circle them and discuss that. It tells you a little bit about your basal metabolic rate, which is how many calories you need to stay the same weight if you sat on the couch all day, as opposed to the exercise. And then, of course, if you're trying to gain or lose weight, and most people want to gain weight in their muscles and want to lose weight in their middle, but getting specific guidance on that is part of our program. And then the A1C, more people are familiar with because the primary care will have ordered it. A lot of people don't see primary care doctors that often.
Right.
And now with all the changes to medical care, my patients who are on top of their health, who are really good advocates for their own care, still struggling to find primary care doctors as they're fleeing medicine in droves because of the changes to the reimbursement from the different health insurance companies and the different institutions. So here, even in Kirkland and Bellevue, in Renton, in this area where we have so many choices, I have so many patients who are like, yep, I need a new primary care again.
Uh-huh.
Or I can only see the PA and it's in 3 months. And, you know, it's really not what it used to be. And I don't know that that's going to go back. So we're not replacing those doctors. We still want our patients in there with their primary care, but we might give them a little more nuance to what their numbers mean and how they can change those numbers to be preventative.
All right. Well, get in for that health analysis. And if you come to Kirkland, you may very well have Dr. Brazel as your doctor.
And we also have Dr. Pentland here, I think.
Oh, yes.
Before.
Dr. Pentland, our gut doctor.
He's a lot more than our gut doctor.
Oh, yes.
But I definitely refer
to him. We like to call him the gut specialist because he knows so much about that.
And he's also really excelling at the IV therapy, which we've introduced to the clinic in the last year.
Yeah.
We see a lot of patients coming in for those nutrient IVs, and they don't even have to be patients. They can be people who are radio show listeners that haven't yet taken the first step past the health analysis.
That's good.
You're welcome to do that as
well. We'll have to get him in to talk about that.
We had our meeting about starting the NAD IV therapy.
Okay. Yeah, so and we'll talk more about that. That's good. All right. Thank you, Dr. Brazel. Come on in for that health analysis. And what you do is simply call our phone number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can schedule your appointment for whatever day and time works best for your busy schedule. You can go online to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. All right. Here we go. We are going to stay right here in the Bellevue area this time. We have Dan on the line with a call. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. With rapamycin, I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
Fascinating drug. So I've been wondering, should I take it with a meal on an empty stomach or with a healthy fat? I think some people suggest like resveratrol with a olive oil or something like that. So that's my first question. And then the second question, I believe last week or recently, Dr. Mixon suggested rapamycin could improve ejection fraction and maybe, I think he said, heart remodeling. So I thought that was quite fascinating. I wonder if you could maybe elaborate on that.
Sure. Okay, well, a couple of things. First, I don't specify before or after meals. I just tell people, whatever you're doing, do it consistently. You know, rapamycin is damaged by acid, so taking it with a food may buffer that, and you may get a little better absorption. Although I think it's kind of fascinating, the pharmacist at Paramount Pharmacy has just started putting the rapamycin inside of a second capsule. They've got the first capsule, and then the second capsule outside that one is an acid-resistant capsule.
Oh, so are you supposed to take both them, or are you supposed to take one capsule out?
No, you take the whole.
Okay. Oh,
That does is it protects it through the stomach into the bowel before that outer capsule dissolves.
Okay. Smart.
So he's actually done now a two-capsule formulation that protects it against the stomach acid.
Smart.
So, you know, if you're getting it through Paramount and you're getting the fancier version, you probably doesn't matter whether you do food or not.
Hmm.
If you're taking the older version, then I would take it with food just to buffer it some. Okay. let's see. What was your other concern? Heart remodeling.
Well, well, first of all, that's a very interesting. I guess you said that's enteric coated now, and one of the resveratrol guys, he's had interviews with Matt Caberline and some of these guys, Peter Attia, and he has also suggested enteric coated may be best. He claims stomach acid would destroy it. I don't think that's true, but that's what he's claimed. So it's kind of interesting. Maybe Paramount's kind of going that way too. So that's really good information. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, the last study I saw on the different forms of it said that basically some is destroyed, but not all. And it's a matter of dosing. And people that are using the non-protected versions may need a little higher dose to get the same effect. Mm. That's really what it comes down to. So, you know, what brand you're using, the cheaper brands tend not to be protected. And so what Paramount is trying to do is give you the advantage of the less expensive version, but then putting it in a acid-resistant capsule. So, as far as the
second was heart remodeling and reduced and improved ejection fraction.
Right. Yeah, that was in the dog studies. That was actually one of Matt Caberline's studies. He did a 10 or 12 week study on dogs, but he used very, very high doses for that brief period. I mean, if you scaled it up from the dogs to people based on body weight, you know, I'd be having to take about 28 milligrams per week to get the same dose those dogs were getting based on body weight. And I do sometimes end up with 15 or 16 milligrams, but I've never gotten up to 28. But the dog study was a short period, but it did result in the cardiac remodeling, and those dogs actually improved their cardiac ejection fraction in, you know, less than 3 months.
Welcome to longevity.
So that was, you know, pretty remarkable.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, we don't have human studies. And, the hope is that we will also get remodeling with better ejection fractions with our lower dose over the long term. Yeah. But with the dogs, now, that was pretty dramatic, and it was in a very short period of time. It was a much higher dose than anybody I know is taking as a person. So, does that clarify that for you?
Awesome. Yeah, I might have to research that a little bit. That's quite interesting. I thought I saw a blip where he was, the dog study had been stopped or something. They ran out of money or something.
Yeah. Well, that was different, though. The original dog study was short with I think it was like 12 or 15 dogs, a fairly small study. He then had set up a massive study with 40,000 dogs, and it was supposed to be a multi-year study. And they were looking at multiple aspects of how these dogs were doing, because dogs live in the same environment the people do. They eat on pretty much the same schedule the people do. So they share much of our lifestyle. And so the idea being using pet dogs in a large number would give us a better idea of what would happen with people. You know, the one advantage is the dogs tend to live 10 or 12 years, and people tend to live, you know, roughly 80 years. And so we could get a better idea of longevity from the dogs than we could with people. But he did. His grant ran out. He ran out of money. I know he was pleading online for people to please donate and send and save the study, but I don't know how it came out. I have not talked to Matt in, golly, best part of a year now.
Okay, well, fantastic information, and I really appreciate all you do and your clinic and your wonderful staff.
Well, thank you, sir. We do our best. So, good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you for that call, Dan.
Take care, Dan. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, phone lines are open, wide open for you, and we have a half hour left of the show with lots of time for your questions about your health, maybe a recent diagnosis of you or a loved one, or a topic of health that you would like to talk about that you don't quite understand. We would love to talk with you, and here is that number to get through today on our live show. It's 800-465-8770. That number is 800-465-8770. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay right there.
Now the race is on, and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there. I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running, two love scratch for another sake. The race is on and it looks like heartache, and the winner loses all.
This is the happiest song about heartache I've ever heard.
So fun. Oh, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning to you. It's going to be such a beautiful weekend. Hope you're able to get outside and enjoy some of this sunshine, because spring is officially here on Wednesday.
Yep, it's arriving.
Mm-hmm. My hubby's birthday. That's how come I remember.
Ooh,
yeah.
Happy birthday to your hubby.
Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah. Okay, here's the number to get through, 800-465-8770. You can talk with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and we have Dr. Christine Brazel from our Kirkland Clinic here in the studio as well. We're going to head north to Stanwood. Warren is on the line. Welcome to the show, Warren. How can we help? Hi, how can we help you?
I have a 4K test from the urology department. It was taken on like Thursday. I haven't got the results, but I'm curious as to what it is. And then the other question is the ill advisory of reading medical books or pamphlets or whatever that are 5, 7, 10, maybe even 20 years old.
Yes.
And listening to you for so long, how rapidly, at least in your world, things change.
Yes, they do. Yeah, you know, I've had this clinic open now for 26 years, and boy, it has dramatically changed. You know, when I started back in the 90s, we were basically looking for what is causing the aging process. What do we have to address? And the single biggest factor in those days was, in fact, hormone manipulation. And recently I started looking at that again and setting up a series of videos to put online. And I have now identified 12 different major factors that we have to address with aging. So in the last 26 years, we've gone from 1 to 12, and there's probably another 12 I have not yet identified.
But you know, the past is always the foundation for the future. You have to begin somewhere, and even if you're wrong, you realize, okay, well, that was wrong.
Yeah, in this case, it wasn't wrong. It was just incomplete.
Incomplete, exactly.
You know, it was important, and in fact, as we learn more and more about hormone manipulation,
right?
You know, we now know that testosterone is twice as effective as statins at preventing heart attacks. Mm. I mean, that's pretty dramatic. You know, and we didn't know that 20-some years ago. You know, we were thinking primarily staying strong enough so you get out of your chair and climb the stairs and not have to go to the nursing home. And now we're talking about decreasing the risk of heart attacks, congestive heart failure, breast cancer in women. And perhaps now there's some indications that testosterone supplementation may actually lower the risk of prostate cancer in men.
Right. And remember when we first started saying that hormone replacement therapy can reduce the likelihood of developing diabetes and we can reverse type 2 diabetes? And we used to be so scared saying that because nobody used to say that and was like against the norm. And now everybody's saying it. We can reverse your type 2 diabetes.
We were just 20 years ahead of the rest of the pack. And that's a place I like being, but it's got its ups and downs. A, I love being able to do things for my patients that other doctors won't be able to do for 20 years. On the other hand, we are constantly taking flack from people that are not up to our level and think that they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that?
Yeah. I mean, see it all the time. Patient went to see the neurologist because she was thinking that she's having some memory issues, came to see us, but had already decided she wasn't going to join us because the neurologist said, oh, that's not going to help you.
And the neurologist happened to be wrong.
He's wrong.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, it is a joy doing what we do. It is a joy staying way ahead of the curve. But we have to learn to ignore the slings and arrows from some of our colleagues that are not up to our level.
There you go. Yes. Is that helpful for you, Warren?
Yeah, well, I was wondering about the 4K test, but I had own experience with an endocrinologist about 3-4 years ago, and I was kind of prodding him a little bit, and the guy just went ballistic. And I mean, and the things he said, oh, blah, 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 and I'm just listening to this guy, and I'm going, I don't really think I want this guy as my doctor, because he's not open to anything new. But anyway, the 4K, I mean, it's some kind of genetic test or something.
Well, yeah, it's actually looking at four different prostate cancer related to kinases. And between the four of them, they give us a statistical probability of you having an aggressive prostate cancer. So if your 4K has a low number, it says you have a low probability of having an aggressive prostate cancer. A very high number is very worrisome as all. And so we often use that as a screen for people who are getting rising PSAs. Because if their PSA is rising, we know something is changing in the prostate. The prostate's either getting bigger, or it's getting a chronic infection, or there's a cancer hiding there, and it could be any of the three. But something is changing in the metabolism of the prostate. So we run a 4K to get a statistical probability. Now, the problem with that is that statistical probabilities apply to populations, not necessarily to each individual. Okay. But if we get a high, if we get a rising or a high 4K, then we get much more aggressive about sending them out to get an MRI of the prostate or even a biopsy. So low 4Ks are reassuring. High 4Ks say, hey, let's do some more studies and chase this down and see what's going on.
Right. It tells us the likelihood of that cancer becoming aggressive and a positive, or that lesion becoming a cancer over a course of time.
Right.
But it isn't a diagnosis of cancer.
No.
So you still have to do the workup, which is the MRI or the biopsy. And we prefer the MRI to the biopsy because they don't offer that ultrasound anymore. That used to be such a easier to access test, and now is very hard to get a hold of. Although I know some urologists still use that in office. And
well, the MRI then gives you a guidance as to where to biopsy from if there is a lesion. So that's the advantage of it. It picks up small lesions and then it guides the biopsy so that you pick it up from where the lesion is and not do random picks and miss the lesion completely.
Because before this, they used to just go in and they do what's called a 12-core biopsy, and they would take a large bore needle, they would clean out your rectum as best they could, and then through the rectum, through the bowel, they'd be punching holes down into the prostate, and they'd try to hit 12 different areas in hopes that if there was a cancer there, they would pick it up. Well, 12 large bore punches through the bowel, which is never sterile. No matter how hard you try, you just cannot sterilize the bowel. And you're carrying it down into that sterile gland 12 separate times. The risk of getting an infection down there or hitting a blood vessel or hitting a nerve plexus, fairly high.
I think it's about 25% of patients end up with a complication from that related to the bacterial infection.
Yeah. And yet, you know, the urologists downplay those biopsies so much.
I know.
Well, except it put my uncle in the hospital. He almost died. Yeah. And his urologist blew it off, and it was a Friday afternoon. He didn't feel good, and he was in ICU, and it was that hole punch biopsy.
Yes. Wow.
He did have cancer, but the biopsy might have killed him before the cancer ever could. He's alive now, thank God.
But,
these tests are not without problems.
And so if we suspect there's a cancer based on rising PSA and the 4K, we send for an MRI because the MRI can pick up a cancer as small as 2 millimeters, tiny little lesion. And then you know where to biopsy. You want to try to get that lesion itself and say, okay, instead of just punching random holes in the prostate, I want to go where the MRI tells me there's something suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've already done an MRI, and there were no lesions, and it was like a nothing burger. So
I think
this is just on top of that, and even though my PSA is at 6.5, and we took another PSA test, so I don't know what it'll say, but it sounds like I may be more concerned than I need to be, but I still need to be obviously concerned.
Well, see, the thing we think about is cancer doesn't go from a healthy tissue immediately to a cancer. What will usually happen is you got healthy tissue. Over time, inflammation, mutations will occur, and you get what we call some dysplasia. These are not normal tissues, but they're not cancerous yet. And then that will, over time, develop to a more severe dysplasia until it finally will reach a point that it becomes a malignancy. And the 4K will give us a statistical probability of what is going to develop over the next several years. So if you've got changes, but they are not yet malignancy, that's still something you want to know about so you know which people to watch closely.
That's right. And then, you know, part of that test is the percent free PSA and the PSA value. So we do that too. And then the 4K is just two more markers added to that.
Right. Anyway,
okay,
hope that
thank you
gives
very
you
much.
Information.
Appreciate it. Great information.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Warren. And you know what? We have Susan calling in from Eatonville. Let's quickly get Susan's question.
Okay.
Then we'll go to a break, and then we'll discuss it. So welcome, Susan. Thank you for calling Leading Edge. How can we help?
Well, thank you. Good morning to you all on this absolutely gorgeous day here in Eatonville. I'm looking right at the beautiful Mount Rainier with a flock of geese flying by.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. How nice. And we're sitting here in a little tiny room with black rippled foam on all four
all
walls.
All of our soundproofing.
The sound.
We're dreaming of the outside.
Well, you'll just have to imagine what I'm looking at then.
Yes. Oh,
anyway,
yes.
What I wanted to talk to you all about and get your opinion on is collagen powder, taking it as a dietary supplement. And it's quite confusing because there's just a plethora of options, and I really don't know how to choose between them.
That's right. There's a lot of options and a lot of cost for them as well. And I see them all over social media. So why don't we talk about that when we come back from the break? Susan, you stay right there. We'll take a quick break on Leading Edge Medicine. Then we'll be right back. Stay right there. Singing there, and boy, does she look good at what? I don't know. How old is she?
I don't know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. But boy, she looked good in that.
What did she say was the secret to her marriage success? Staying apart?
Yes, staying apart and lots and lots. She subscribes and is very outward about her plastic surgery. And she goes, hey, whatever it takes to look this good. So,
she's
and people just love
too.
Her.
She's so
very
smart.
And people apparently just love her. So whenever I hear her on the radio, I get a smile. All right, Susan, let's talk collagen and what it does and what it really does with the doctors.
I am always ambivalent about collagens. The fact is, you're not going to absorb the collagen in its current form and use it in your body, okay? Because that is not human collagen. We have not ground up human beings to make that collagen. This is pig collagen or chicken collagen or, you know.
And sometimes, Jerry, there is no collagen.
That's, sometimes there's no collagen there at all. That's true. So basically, these are the ligaments and the tendons and the hooves of these animals that otherwise used to get thrown away, and now they sell them to the beauty supply people, and they clean them up, grind them up, and homogenize them and sell them to you at an outrageous price. When you eat or drink this, it hits your stomach. Your stomach breaks it down. The acid in your stomach chews up the collagen, breaks it down to the basic amino acids. And then those amino acids are absorbed in your gut. And you then take them out to your tissues and make own human collagen out of the basic amino acids. Okay. And so you're making collagen. But you can get those amino acids in any number of forms. They don't have to be as expensive collagen. They can be from something as simple as a soy or a whey-based hydrolyzed protein. They just take the protein, they pre-digest it for you, and they sell you the amino acid isolates. And you can stir those up in milk or water and drink them, or put them in your food or your pudding, and you make your own collagen. That's a lot cheaper. Instead of hundreds of dollars a month, you can end up spending $30 a month. So that would be my approach. I would take it as a amino acid isolate from either whey or soy, depending on what your personal choices are. But most of the collagen products, the collagen masks, the collagen creams, the collagen drinks, they do create a miracle. And the miracle is how big the bank account gets and the people selling it to you.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Right? But that's the only miracle associated with them, is the fantastic growth in the bank accounts of the purveyors. So...
And something to consider is, why are we taking this collagen to begin with?
Yes.
And for most people, particularly women, as we age, our hair thins out and our nails are not quite as strong as they used to be, and our skin is not soft and luxurious the way it used to be, and little wrinkles start to show up. And so that is a consequence of aging for many people because of hormonal change, which happens in our 40s and 50s, but also a lifetime of exposures to toxic materials like smoke, environmental pollutants, whether or not you're the smoker, that's a primary driver of collagen. And, you know, the smoker's face, you know, all those little wrinkles around their mouth is all the collagen that's been destroyed by the smoke, actually. But there's also other problems we now have, which is chronic inflammatory bowel disease and gastritis. And so many people eat food that's inflammatory and they don't digest it. And they start taking acid blockers and all these other things that also prohibit the digestion of these little particles that Dr. Mixon's talking about. All those proteins don't get broken down to where we can absorb them, or we lose them because we're having these IBS symptoms. So treating the cause of why these things might be happening might change why you need the collagen. But people want their nails strong.
Yes, we're so desperate. You know, when you start feeling though, it's like, okay, what can I do? And then you see these testimonials on social media, and then, oh boy.
So you can't guarantee that that collagen is going to go into those muscles and bones or nails where you want it, because you have to look at why you need it. And for some people, autoimmune disease plays a huge part in why they're losing collagen, and getting rid of that inflammation through diet and lifestyle changes will be more effective in the long run than supplementing against your habits. And similarly, some of the medications people have to take because of these diseases also accelerate the decline of those tissues.
All right. But, you know, sometimes we indulge in these self-destructive activities knowingly. Like when women go and have these nails done, and I'm guilty of that too, the nails look pretty, but then when they take that nail color off, they are destroying the upper layer of your nails anyway. So they're making them weaker by you, the vanity issue, right? So, I mean, you have to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I just leave my nails good old-fashioned.
Yeah, you don't
paint
them.
Yeah, he's not painting.
I don't paint them. I don't have
no shellac nails for you.
No, I do have one nail with a black spot, but it's growing out. That's because I slammed it in a drawer.
And I'm rocking the green St. Patrick's Day nails today.
They're very lovely. That's
thank you. Thank you. Susan, how are you doing? Did we answer your question? Did we give you enough information on collagen?
Well, it makes me feel terrible.
No.
I've wasted so much money on this, but I've been taking it for primarily for joint health, or hopefully to benefit my joints, not necessarily. I mean, not that I wouldn't take, you know, better skin, hair, and nails, but I'm really doing it for my joints.
Okay.
Has it helped?
You know, I don't know. I kind of feel like it has been.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't recommend anyone overdose. Like, taking lots more isn't going to make it better. But maybe just sticking to the one serving a day and keeping it simple is usually the best answer.
Yeah, give it more time, maybe. Yeah,
but I haven't seen any evidence that it reverses arthritis or degenerative joint disease, but it might make the pain a little bit less intense.
All right.
It's just hard to find one because they have so much stuff in it, you know, and I get so confused reading the labels and finding one that doesn't have a sweetener in it, you know, of any type, actually.
Well, you know, Dr. Mixon has talked about the collagen from the food in the past.
Yes. Yeah,
and that may be a better...
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Here in the West, we tend to eat just the muscle from the animal. And most places in the world where food was in short supply, they ate the whole animal. And so they would eat the ears and the snout on the pigs, and they would eat the ligaments and the tendons.
Yeah, and chomp on the cartilage.
And chomp on the cartilage, yes.
And all those chicken soups, all those dissolved little chicken bones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The bone broth.
That's right. And my, you know, we in my house have had oxtail soup. I had my company president over, and I think the first time he'd ever tried oxtail soup was at my house. But yes, my wife, being Chinese, is used to eating the whole cotton picking critter. And so I have gotten used in our 20 years of marriage to eating tendon soup and that sort of thing. But that's collagen. You know, they're just taking the tendons and the ligaments and the tails and the snouts and the ears. You watch all these little Chinese girls come to our house, and they pop a whole chicken foot in their mouth.
Oh.
And they move their mouth around a little bit, and all these little tiny bones come popping out in their hand. And I try to eat the damn thing, and I don't get anything off it. I end up spitting the whole foot out. Yeah. But yeah, they eat chicken feet. They eat pig ears. They eat tendons. They eat ligaments. They eat tails. But that's collagen. And, you know, so.
And Knox gelatin is what our grandmothers took, or my, you know.
Mother used to use Knox gelatin. That's right. And here's the interesting thing. Jell-O is Knox gelatin. Jell-O is collagen. They've just added flavorings and sweeteners to it.
Well, the new one that doesn't have the gelatin in, for people who don't want to have that, then it'll be pectin, I think. But you just have to just flip over the label and make sure that it's actually gelatin in there. Yeah. But it's where the collagen peptides are derived from. But it's a way for the industry to also make money recycling the parts. You know, they got to put them somewhere.
That's right.
So they upcycle them. And,
yeah.
The fancier it is, the more they can
Instead of grinding it up and making pig food out of it, they grind it up, freeze dry it, and sell it to us.
Oh boy.
At $100 a dose.
Right. And if it's in a gummy form, you know we'll want to buy it, because those things are good.
All right. I hope that answers your questions, my dear, but mostly you're being scammed.
Gee, thanks.
All right. Sorry.
I deal with the real world, not the world I wish existed.
Yeah. So. Susan, we're thankful for your call, because it's important to talk about it. When you see something and all of a sudden it gets really popular and you don't know what to believe, and it's like,
But also might be time to find out why you have all this joint pain.
Yes, and get to that problem, find out what's going on with that, and help fix that, right?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Susan, for the call. Just a couple of minutes left of our show, and we're hoping Rod will be the first one on our next show. We've given him the number to call so we can talk with him, and Rod will do that on our next show. Just a couple of minutes left today, and we want you to be a longevity patient. We've heard from longevity patients today that have said, I've been a patient for over 20 years. He's 87, and he's in the gym lifting weights.
You know, I often talk about that, our little mantra, stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Longevity Medical Clinic, we can cut, if you're a woman, we can cut your risk of breast cancer by about 85%. Okay? Lower you down from this national average of 320 cases to 50. Now, that's a pretty dramatic drop. If you're a man, with one little change in your medication, we can cut your risk of prostate cancer in half, and we can dramatically lower your risk of heart disease. We can lower your risk of stroke and dementia. Okay. We can help you keep your mind, keep your muscle, keep your heart, keep your breasts, and live a long, happy life. And, you know, if that's not worth paying a little bit for, well, I feel sorry for you, because you don't value yourself very much. Okay. We do these things and your insurance company will not, because they make their money by collecting premiums, not by paying claims. At Longevity, we work for you, not for the insurance company, and we can lower your risk of heart attacks, strokes, cancer, degenerative arthritis, all those things that bother you. And in the process, make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Absolutely. And it starts with that first phone call and taking that first step to come into Longevity Medical Clinics. We have three in the area, in Kirkland, in Tacoma, and in Linwood. And all you have to do is give us a call and say, all right, schedule me for that free health analysis appointment. Here is that number to call. It is 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or online, go to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. We would love to talk to you, sign you up, get you in for those two free tests, and get you to talk to our doctors for an hour. You'll get to talk to the doctor for an hour about what those tests do and what you are at risk for. So we want to see you here at Longevity, sponsoring Leading Edge Medicine. I'll give you that number again. It's 866-86-YOUNG, or lmclinic.com is where you go. Well, we wish you a wonderful weekend. Dr. Matt, you have any plans for today?
I'm probably going to Canada, actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Enjoy your drive. It's going to be beautiful. Dr. Christine Brezel into the studio. Thank you so much for coming in. And you can meet her if she happens to be your doctor in Kirkland. She is at our Kirkland Longevity Clinic. And Dr. Jerry Mixon.
Yep.
Big plans with the daughter and wife today?
We just go out for lunch on our Saturday afternoon.
Daddy, daughter, wife date.
Find a place where we can be outside in the sunshine have our lunch.
That sounds perfect. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy that springtime weather. And we'll see you next time right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great day.